Need y'all's help. I'm supposed to change a sign out there to reflect the marriage of Marcy and Austin. Now, all I have done is congratulations, Marcy and Austin. What else should I put? Anybody have any ideas? Don't make it difficult. Happy birthday, no? Say again? Okay, that's what I'll put then. Make it simple. God bless America. Say again, Chris.
I said, is that, don't make it difficult to be on the
RT? Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah. I've added, what did I put up there? God bless America? No, on the bottom. I put it there for 2 weeks now. But anyway, it's like God bless America. And God we trust or something, I don't remember, but I put it up there. I just don't want to leave any of that out. Okay, let's see. Greater love hath no man than to... Today it would be give your umbrella to somebody who needs it, right? Right, right. But tomorrow, we're going back to the Bible on that one. You know, because we're going to be remembering D-Day and all those guys that... sacrificed their lives that day. I don't know how many there were, but thousands. And Memorial Day, Pearl Harbor Day has special significance for me. Not that I was there or anything, even though I was alive. But the, you know, just remembering what we've done. Who else in the world has gone to fight evil? When we were in Boston, we took a bus trip. It's hard for me to talk about it. But we went this trail around Boston about all the revolutionary stuff and everything. And whenever it was over with, this old man that was our driver, he gave us a spiel about the United States of America. And whenever he was over with it, man, I felt like shouting. I'm so proud to be part of a country that will stand up to evil in the world. And he went through so many wars, battles, and things that we have gone through and things that we have done to help others in the world. There's a famous Church of Christ guy, I don't believe he's a preacher, but he maintains that the reason why we are what we are today is from what we have done around the world to help those who either wouldn't or couldn't help themselves. And so tomorrow's the day. We honor those people who gave up their lives on D-Day. And so that's that. Introduction. Mm-hmm. We're going through Genesis 39 this evening. This is about Joseph, of course. But I want to ask a question first. Are we conscious of God's presence in our lives? It's hard to say yes, isn't it? But I want to ask another question. How about Joseph? Well, we'll just... Let's leave that hanging, huh?
I'm sure he questioned it from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was thrown into a situation that changed him, and I think he saw God in his life.
Yeah.
He didn't know why, but he felt like he was being protected by him.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking about that as I was reading this. I got prompted by something else I was reading, you know. And so I just decided to ask that question right off. All right, I'm going to read through the whole chapter, and then we'll go back and... piece it together again, because I am definitely going to mess it up. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes. Whose eyes? No, I want to ask that question. It's the Egyptian. Yeah, Potiphar's, right. Mm-hmm. In his eyes. Okay. And became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all of he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. And Joseph, with Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave that you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. All right, let's go back. How many times was God mentioned? 10. I take that back. 8. Okay? 8 times. And in every case, it didn't talk about God and anybody else except Joseph. So, my question was, did he know? I don't. I still don't, but that relationship is getting closer and closer, isn't it? All right. Let's go on down. I say, Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Anybody have any questions before we get down to 6, or any statements? It's on? Anybody? There you go. Okay, does anybody have any questions or statements? I got an audience of answerers here. Why are you grinning? That means I ain't answering. Okay. Yes, over here. Oh, yeah. Okay, your statement is about the number of lies that have been told, right?
Yes.
Lots of lies, yeah. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, too, here in just a minute. Okay, anybody else? Yes.
You know, verse 3 says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we work hard and we don't see our fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But other people do. And, you know, even in this case, Potiphar knew that the Lord was with him, but Potiphar didn't follow the Lord.
Yes.
So other people may know that you are a Christian. You still are there for that example, but they still may not follow the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, to me, it's kind of scary that you know, but yet you don't do, you know?
Yeah. Have we talked a lot about doing lately? Yeah, we have. What are we doing up at camp right now? Right? What are we fixing to do in VBS? What are we fixing to do on the 13th, Lisa? We're going to give away some groceries, right? Oh, by the way, I will not be here on the second Thursday. I've got to let y'all know first. Okay, anybody else? Through verse 6. He did not concern himself with anything except what he ate. I want to read something here about Joseph. It says here, Joseph seemed to be another fulfillment of God's promise in Jacob's new name, Israel, meaning power with God and men. Israel means power with God and men. Okay. All the finest traits of character in his ancestors seemed to be reproduced in Joseph. He had the faith, honesty, and magnanimity of Abraham, the quiet submissiveness but persistent faith of his grandfather Isaac, and the loving heart, industry, and energetic ability of his father Jacob. Even the same Hebrew word that describes the beauty of Joseph's mother, Rachel, describes his masculine appeal. Wow. And it says, compare these two verses, chapter 29, 17, and 39, 6b, if anybody wants to take a look at that one. And I think that has to do with Rachel, mostly. All right, then. Anything on that? Anything about Joseph and the traits that I just talked about and his ancestry, his heritage? All right. So we'll go right on into the next phase. Matter of fact, I split this thing up into the first phase right here between 6 and 7, and then whenever we get through with all the lies, we'll be through with the second phase. Okay, here we go. Now, Joseph, he was well-built and handsome. We're attracted to people like that, aren't we? You know, the last time we had the grocery ministry, I talked very straight to some ladies about their attraction to, quote, quote, good-looking men, you know? They didn't want to talk about that. But then whenever I describe to them step by step from looking and seeing and thinking and then coming to that conclusion, you know, they just kind of looked away. Oh, no, that's not me. No, they saw themselves in that. Now, we always think mostly about men, but women, obviously, the same thing happens. That's why one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And not just for women, that's for all of us, I think. Questions? Comments? Okay. He was well-built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." Okay, I want to read this about that. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Joseph, the Hebrew slave, was pure in character and attractive. Potiphar's wife probably had not even noticed the new Hebrew slave in earlier days. No, when he first got there. That's what this guy's saying. I'm not too sure about that. But anyway, Potiphar's wife, not even noticed. However, as he advanced in favor, the handsome Joseph would wear garments in keeping with his position. Therefore, she noticed Joseph in the sense of desiring a physical relationship with him and fully expected compliance from her husband's servants. Anybody have a comment about that one? Okay. We can go... No, I don't think, wait a minute. I want to talk a little bit more about Potiphar's wife's character. What's her character like? To begin with. Yes.
The wife's... thinks that she can intimidate or bully servants to get what she really wants, since she's in a position of power that, unbeknownst to her husband, she can fool around.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, we'll get back to Joseph now. But he refused, and he said this. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. Wow. Yeah. My master, even though he's the greatest in the house, he still calls Potiphar my master. All right? There's always somebody above us, right? Has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. Now, I don't know if they talked about this or not, but there's an implication there that he has actively said, hands off. Maybe we wonder why. Let's go on. All right, my master has withheld nothing except you, because you are his wife. Now then, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Oh, there's God again. See, we talked a lot about the Lord up there in the first part, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of all this, there's this confrontation going on, and he says, how can I sin against God? You know? And I don't know if Potiphar's wife, you know, really had an inkling about who God was or anything. But anyway... he was definitely brought up in the conversation. And I believe he wanted her to know about that. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day. Oh, she did what? Spoke to him day after day.
She was after him. She was, literally chasing him. Yeah. She would find any opportunity to be alone with him.
Stalking.
Yeah, stalking.
Yeah, right.
She was a predator.
Oh, come on. Okay, I know. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So obviously he knew God was with him when his brother sketched him into the pit, and look where he wound up. Now he may not realize that when the Ishmaelites had him.
Yeah.
But whenever they sold him and he wound up in Potiphar and he seen how things had progressed, he realized God was with him.
Yeah. Amen.
Because that's why he would say, I can't do this evil sin in the sight of God.
Wow. That's cool. We see this. Yes.
He apparently communicated to them about God because Potiphar in verse 3 says it's because God has blessed everything he's done.
Yeah.
So even Potiphar recognized that the Lord was the one that was blessing Joseph and him because of Joseph.
Okay, cool. I like that observation. That's wonderful. Anybody else? All right, and here we go again. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Does that, yes?
I mean, that's a good lesson for us, too.
Yes.
I remember a story one time about this guy. I said, you know what, I really get tempted. I drive by this, I don't remember what it was, a bar or thing, whatever, on the way home all the time. You know, I'm often tempted to stop in. The guy asked him and said, is that the only way to get home from work? Drive a different way. I mean, obviously he's taking steps to prevent this from happening, either for her to grab him, or he could possibly have been tempted by that as well.
Yeah.
He's taking steps to prevent that.
It also amazes me that Joseph, even though we didn't get the law from Moses as yet, Joseph already knew that adultery was a bad sin. That's what really amazes me.
Cool. Thank you. Anybody else? Great. All right. I want to read something else to you here. This is on page 4. Yeah. Avoiding sin. This is a lesson for us. It's talking to us, okay? Do not consider it a sign of weakness to run from temptation. What does the world think about running from temptation? Huh?
Generally, the world thinks running from temptation is a sign of being timid or being weak or being not strong.
Mm-hmm.
But in my view, in God's view too, in Jesus, it's a sign of strength.
Cool. Anybody else? Let me continue here. It's not a weakness to run from temptation. This is the most practical way to meet temptation, is running from it, okay? Do not proudly say, I will be strong. Or I will explain why I cannot. Avoid all contact is the lesson. Avoid all contact. Do not rationalize with the idea that it is necessary to meet the other person or this situation halfway. No. That's compromise, right? Expose it. Expose it to God's word. That's where we get to listen to God, right? From his word. So expose it to God's word. Expose your own heart to God. How? In prayer. Yeah. Expose your own heart to God in prayer. Then avoid all contact. Burn all the bridges behind you. Make it impossible to be tempted. I want somebody to look up 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Who wants to do that? Okay, good. Also, someone else, look up 2 Timothy 2, 22. Who wants it? Okay, microphone.
Second Corinthians 6, 18 through what?
20.
Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
Hey, how about that? Yeah, we do belong to God. Okay, 2 Timothy 2, 22. Who's got that one? Okay.
Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Amen. All right.
The thing I like about that is you're not just resisting, you're replacing the fleeing from with something, going after God.
Yes. Yeah, cool.
Pursuing.
Yeah, substitution. Is that a good thing, substituting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like prior now, if I told you not to think of a pink elephant, you can't do it without putting something else in your head. Right?
Yeah.
You got to think of a green ram, yeah. Right? In order to not think of the pink, you got to put something in there.
Cool.
I think sometimes our prayers are generic. We don't talk to God specifically.
Okay. I think sometimes maybe, we have generic prayers and we don't say, well, God, help me with this sin of immorality, sin of lust of the flesh, or, sin of whatever it is that, we could talk to him specifically about. 'Cause he wants our intimate, he wants that intimate relationship with us.
Yes, he does.
It's that admittance of we are weak and he is strong.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's been psychological studies that demonstrate that the human brain, even though there's so much capacity for it and so much potential, but right now, as we're normal humans, we only can hold a thought within one nanosecond. We can't think of two things at the very same time or the same nanosecond. We only can do one thing at a time. This has been demonstrated. So if we're going to think of a pink elephant, we have to move it over and think of a green ram. We can't think of the two at the same time. It's impossible in the beta state. There's different states of consciousness. It's alpha, beta, theta. I'm getting a little technical here. Theta and delta. So our waking state is beta, and in our beta state, we only can do one thought at a time. We can't do two thoughts concurrently.
Yes. What does that say about multitasking that most employers want you to do?
Yeah, well, okay.
Casey says it's impossible. Okay, that's great.
Some people, mostly non-men, can switch between tasks very fast.
Non-men. I was going to.
But, you can't actually multitask.
But
yes.
It's also been demonstrated. I was raised in a scientific background.
Okay.
It's been demonstrated that women's brain, the female brain, is wired differently from the male brain, because women.
Amen.
It's been demonstrated that they are better multitaskers than men.
Mm-hmm.
There's years and years and years of documented studies on this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Okay, any more? Well, let's go on then. 11. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. Wonder why. I wonder why. Anyway, we'll get back to that in a minute. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called to her household servants. They're out of the house, but not that far away, right? Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. Was she telling the truth? Say no, everybody, okay? No. She lied. Big time, right? Well, let me ask you a question. This is a thought question. You don't have to answer. Rahab lied too. Huh? And she's in the Faith Hall of Fame. What are you grinning about? But Potiphar's wife is not in the Faith Hall of Fame.
Rahab was working on the benefit for God. God was guiding her.
Yeah.
Situation ethics works. Is that what you're saying?
I ain't saying anything like that.
So,
situation
I mean,
ethics, yeah.
God uses people that we would consider not that important.
Mm-hmm.
Insignificant people, but it's those insignificant people that changes history.
Yeah. Did God use the Assyrians? He sure did. Did God use the Babylonians? He sure did. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. She kept his cloak beside her until her master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought to us came to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. Another lie, right? Okay, when his master heard this story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. Your slave treated me, right? He burned with anger. It didn't.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah.
He burned with anger, but was it at Joseph? Said, now he probably seen through if it would have been him, the aggressor, he would have had her clothes.
Yeah.
Instead of her having his.
Yeah.
Well,
he was probably ashamed.
Well, one of the, I look at that.
Get some mics over here.
He burned with anger. He may have known his wife. I mean, he may have known her. He's living with her. He threw Joseph in jail. Why didn't he kill him?
Penalty was death.
Amen, brother.
Well, I don't know what the penalty was.
Yeah, I don't either.
And in that culture.
Right. Mm-hmm. They may have been prison, may have been the ultimate. But, and then I question, why did Joseph go into the house without any other men in the house?
Well, at one point you made it earlier, which was kind of interesting, is that it seems that the master made one point to tell Joseph to stay away from his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then for this to come around, you kind of think, has this happened before with other slaves?
Yeah, yeah.
To where he's had to throw them in jail or have them killed because of this, because of his wife, where it's like something that he just kind of almost allows until he finds out about it directly.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Anybody else? Yeah. Go for it, lad. It is a board, right?
Yeah, something to say.
All right. Oh, yeah. So he put him in prison. All right. Let me get over to this. Revenge. In revenge, she, determined to ruin Joseph and even cause his death. For such an action was worthy of death according to Egyptian law. She called for the other household slaves who perhaps would be jealous of Joseph. Really? Jealous? Why? Okay. Yeah. Yep. And she used racial prejudice as, racial prejudice as she loudly proclaimed the Hebrew alien had no business to be with cultured people such as the Egyptians. The slaves who knew the woman may have had their doubts, about her, and so perhaps Potiphar. He might have had his doubts too, right? Okay. Still, her very talk brought insult to Potiphar's name. Therefore, he was exceedingly angry. To save his own face, Potiphar immediately disgraced Joseph, and without trial, he sent Joseph in chains to the prison reserved for the king's prisoners. God apparently did nothing about it, though Joseph suffered only because he was faithful to God. And that's cool.
You have to think later on, whenever he's second in charge,
mm-hmm.
how Potiphar and his wife felt.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, said... Yeah.
One of the things that Potiphar may have not killed him was, if you go back to verse 3, and Casey and I both have alluded to that earlier, Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made him all he did prosper in his hand.
Yes.
So maybe Potiphar did have some type of fear of God, mm-hmm. and instead of killing Joseph, went ahead and just put him in prison.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a reason, I think, why he didn't kill him. Of course, God was right there. I don't think he could have survived God's wrath. Yeah, go ahead.
Potiphar was also a captain of the guard, and so he knew what was going on inside that prison later on. With
yeah.
He realized that the prison was, or that Joseph was prospering in prison, and everything was laid at his feet for us. He was over all the prisoners. Jailer,
yep.
Chief jailer made him over all the prisoners.
Amen.
So Potiphar, like Scott said, Potiphar realized that, hey, there's a lot more to this story than what is being said.
Amen. Anybody else? Get him a mic way back there, please.
Potiphar took a chance at getting rid of Joseph because he knew God was blessing him by having him in his house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, he kind of shot himself in the foot. Putting Joseph in prison, because then he wasn't. Well, I would think that maybe his blessings were less. He was less successful after Joseph left.
Yes.
The Bible doesn't say that, but you can assume that that happened.
Well, I think of the proverb too that talks about how the wrath of a husband mm-hmm. is kindled due to the adultery, you know, with his wife. And,
yes.
Nothing will. No bribe will satisfy that and all that. And, I mean, he was mad. I mean, go figure. I'd be pretty mad, too.
Yeah. I'd be pretty mad. Yes.
I also find it interesting that up until the accusations of adultery, he's known as Joseph. And the fact that he believes in God isn't an issue until suddenly he's accused of adultery, and now he's the Hebrew.
Yeah.
He's no longer right. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Hebrew.
Yeah.
And she says it in such a derogatory term to try and get everybody else against him. So just that change of wording right there, you can kind of tell where she's trying to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to manipulate people into thinking that he's this evil person because he's a Hebrew.
Good.
So.
Thank you. Anybody else?
The Potiphar's anger isn't towards Joseph. I think it's towards the situation. Clearly, he really loves to have Joseph around. And his wife made a point to have witnesses.
Yes.
To this. She told those people first. She didn't tell her husband. She didn't go to him. He had to save face. That's why he threw Joseph in jail.
Yeah.
Not because he wanted to. It's because he had to, because now everybody knew. If she had just gone to him, He may have just confronted her and, you know, not done anything with Joseph. We never know. But she took the route to tell other people first. Now he has to save face in front of everybody else.
Yes.
Because everybody else knew.
Yes.
So I think that's why he just threw him in jail instead of killing him, because he really liked him. And he probably knew what his wife was doing the whole time, you know.
I think he probably realized his loss shortly, because he had to worry about more than just what he ate after that. Okay, now we're short on time. Doggone it. Yes. Got a new one.
You have the Guerrero duo over here. He's allowing me to speak first. Okay, so also the wife put the blame immediately back on Potiphar. It's your slave. Ain't my slave. It's your slave.
I think that's interesting.
It's pretty complicated, isn't it? Makes you wonder what that family dynamic was like.
So when I read this, I think that maybe we put too much drama in this situation. When it comes down to the end, when Joseph and his family reunite, he says, this is why God put me in this situation. This is why God made me a slave in Egypt to save Israel. So, again, Joseph was a slave. He could have put him to death. He could have done whatever he wanted to do with him. But however he ends up in jail, that's one thing I think is master had mercy on him to some point, and he ends up in jail. But the effect, the result is that he is sustained. And I think that's the big thing.
Right.
God sustains us even though we get in these situations. This is a situation that nowadays you probably can get in easily, right?
Yeah.
But he sustains us through these things for a better good.
Good. Does that work today?
Yeah.
Who said yes? Well, I'll say yes with you. Cool. All right, that last bell, let me go ahead and just read this last couple of sentences here. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in everything he did. Just like at Potiphar's house. Just like cream on milk. You can be separated in the jar, but whenever you shake it, it comes right back to milk, right? And you shake it, and it comes back, and the good separates from the bad, or the not so good, whatever you want to call milk, but the cream separates from the milk. All right, I just want to thank you for that. I want to thank you thank you for all your participation. It's wonderful tonight, and as it is every time.